welcome this 25th day of June to Gates Presbyterian Church. A few announcements as we begin this morning. This is a good time, if you have not already done so, to make sure your cell phones are either turned off or on silent. The Gates Presbyterian Church deacons, along with the friends and family, the Wallens family, would like to extend an invitation to everyone to a reception out on the patio. You saw them setting up where you came in following the service today. And Barb also wanted me to thank you all for your support, your prayers, and your love, and for being here today. The book of John tells us that I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. We come here in sorrow, seeking comfort in those words. We come here in hope, wanting to believe those words. And we come here in trust that Bill now knows those words to be true. I invite you into this time of remembrance. This is a time to honor the life of Bill Wallens with our prayers, our reflections, our stories and laughter and tears, and is most especially our love. Won't you pray with me? Compassionate and loving God, yours is the beauty of childhood and the fullness of years. Comfort us in our sorrow. Strengthen us with hope and breathe peace into our troubled hearts. Indeed, help us to bless you for the gift you gave us in Bill, for the joy he gave all who knew him, and for the memories that will abide in us, and the assurance that he lives forever in joy and peace in your presence. Guide us through this time of sadness with the light of your love and the strength of your compassion. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand in body and in spirit for our call to worship, which is found in your bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, who alone is good.
Who steadfast love is everlasting.
Let the gates of righteousness be opened. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In your purple hymnals, we'll be singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please note that we are singing the first and third verses.
Thank you.
Our first reading of the Word this morning comes from the book of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
When you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky, and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. When you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm is a golden sky, and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone.
The second reading from the Word is taken from the New Testament, and we've selected a couple verses from the book of John, Melissa mentioned one of them already, but I'm going to read it again because I think it's a significant scripture for all of us today. It's found in John 11. It's the story of Lazarus. And Jesus went to Lazarus' home and was with Mary and Martha. And Martha was asking some questions of Jesus. And to comfort her a little bit, Jesus said this to her in verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked her this question, "Do you believe this?" The other scripture is found in John 14, and it goes like this, verses 1 through 6. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I have the honor of speaking and sharing about my friend Bill Wallace, a man who lived a full and influential life. Before I talk about Bill's life, though, I'd like to reflect a little bit and comment on all three of the scriptures that were read this morning, because I believe that in all three of these scriptures, this was part of the core of Bill's life. And these scriptures help mold and shape him into the man that you and I both know today. First of all, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with me and he comforts me. And eventually I dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And the wonderful words of Jesus in John, which I think are so important for us to remember for not only our own lives, but as we reflect on Bill's life, we see this shining through in a lot of who he was. Because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." See, these scriptures talk about Jesus being the life and truth to us, and how he comforts us, and how he restores our soul. At some point in Bill's life, he understood what these scriptures meant for him. That he could trust Jesus and allow his life to be impacted by the death, resurrection, and the life of Christ. It was out of that understanding and commitment and decision to follow Christ that Bill was able to face the challenges. He was able to live a full life, and he was able to impact so many others. See, Bill lived his faith through his life, and thus we knew a man filled with grace, humility, wisdom, strength, and unconditional love. I spent some time in the last month or so sitting with Bill and Barb in their home, and then I spent a few times these last few days sitting with Barb, and we just talked. We talked a lot about many things. And what a pleasure it was to glean from Bill's wisdom and from his humility, and to watch him walk through his illness with such grace. And then to hear the stories from Barb on the wonderful husband that Bill was to her, and the wonderful father that he was to Natalie and to Ben. I'm going to share some thoughts on Bill's personal life and his journey. And after I'm finished, we're also going to have Steve Bovee, who is another good friend of Bill's. He will be sharing some thoughts on Bill's professional life. And some of our thoughts may overlap, but you know, that's really a good thing, because that means Bill was consistent in who he was wherever he was. And that truly was Bill Wallace. He was consistent. The man, Bill Wallace. Bill had a wonderful sense of humor. Barb says it was one that she fell in love with very quickly. It was witty and yet never harsh toward anyone. At some point, I'm sure all of us were exposed to that humor. And wasn't it a wonderful experience? Bill loved discussing politics with people, but during those discussions, he knew his facts. And he spoke with very much intelligence. Is that a right use of words? Oh, well. Very much intelligence. I bet it was hard to win an argument with him. He was a very intelligent man. This showed in everything he discussed. His opinions were based on intelligent facts, not just hearsay or non-truths. In my conversations lately, I was impressed with his knowledge of biblical facts. He shared a lot of his wisdom on many different topics, and it was fun to sit and talk with him. During one of my conversations with Bill, he talked about how much his time working at Roberts Wesleyan College had impacted his faith. He said his faith grew so much deeper and stronger there. He attributed this to the atmosphere at the college and the relationships he developed with his colleagues and his students, the prayer support, the discussions they had, the biblical values that he saw walked out in people's lives. He continued to share how deep his faith became as an anchor to him during his illness. And he was very thankful that he had that deep faith. Bill was a very humble man. Barb said, nothing was ever about him. It was always about the people around him. He gave so much of himself to everyone that he knew. He gave so much of himself to everything he was involved in. Barb said he embraced whatever it was that she and the kids wanted to try. A good example of this, and I'm sure you guys will remember this, was when they wanted to raise sheep in their backyard. I am told that Bill wasn't extremely keen on the idea, but everyone else was excited. And so he went to work preparing the area for the sheep, which included a small structure. To raise the sheep, also to raise pygmy goats, and even to raise a few rabbits. I understand this family venture lasted 10 years. It was a long period for a man who wasn't keen on the idea to begin with. However, it represented a deep love for his family and a desire to please them and to make them happy. That was only one example, and I'm sure there were many, many, many more. Bill gave of his time to many other organizations as well. Some of these organizations were, he served on church committees. He was a member of the Churchville Lions Club. He served on the Wesley Gardens Nursing Home Board, the Patient and Family Care Committee at Rochester General Hospital, and the Office of Professional Medical Ethics Board. He really got around, that's for sure. And then there was his love for music, his involvement in the Broadway musicals at Roberts Wesleyan College. I remember. Acting alongside him as we both were Pops and Fiddler on the Roof. Remember that, Steve? Sorry. He played in a band for many, many years, and he even handcrafted his own bass guitars, and not just one, but many. If you were at the funeral home last night, you saw one of those beautiful instruments, and when I looked at it, I just thought, wow, wow, what a beautiful instrument. Bill's logo on the guitars was Dr. Bassman. Dr. Bassman. What a great logo. I know there are some fellow musicians here as well that would join Bill in his basement for jam sessions where they would just play their music. Is that right, Barb? Yeah. Just play their music. All that involvement, though, never took his eyes off the importance of his family. Barb said Bill is her rock. He taught her a lot, and he demonstrated his unconditional love for her every day. Barb, I want to tell you this. I believe you and Bill are a couple who are a true example of what the Scripture says when it says, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. Thank you for that example. Barb also spoke of how both Natalie and Ben are who they are today because of Bill and the investment he made in their lives as they were growing up. He's a great dad. And when the time came, he welcomed son-in-law Patrick and daughter-in-law Lauren into their family. Bill had strong family values and knew the importance of family investing in the next generation. Barb said that since Bill was diagnosed with cancer, God allowed them to have 4 wonderful years together. They've been able to travel around. Bill was able to walk Natalie down the aisle at her wedding, and they have spent many, many precious, precious hours together. And her testimony out of that is that God was there with them each step of the way, right until the end. Bill walked his illness with grace, with strength, and with patience, making the proper decisions along the way with Barb at the proper time. And he came to peace with each of those decisions. So what is legacy? It's how we walk out God's plan for us. It's our investment in our life and others' lives. What we leave behind for those to remember us by. Our life story. Our impact on society. On the people around us. It's memories of a life well lived. Bill's legacy is he spent a lifetime investing in people's lives. He shared his faith, his wisdom, his struggles, and his stories. Many people watched as he walked through difficulties and joys and the joys of life with strength, with confidence, and with a commitment to God. And we were impacted. Bill, in his quiet, compassionate, patient, fun-loving way, imparted life's wisdom and God's love to us, which we in turn can impart to another and into another. And the legacy goes on and on. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." The psalmist in Psalm 139 states that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God formed our inward parts and did weave us in our mother's womb. And in verse 16 it says, "Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." God's plan for Bill Wallace on this earth has been fulfilled, and he is now rejoicing with his Savior Jesus in heaven. We don't always understand God's ways, and it is painful when we lose a loved one. We grieve that loss. But the hope within that grief is that we will see Bill again one day. And until that time, we have the opportunity to share what Bill invested in each one of us and of others and with others. God has a plan for each one of us. How we walk that plan out is up to us. There's no doubt in my mind that when Bill passed from this life into eternal life, he heard God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now enter into the rest of your Lord." I would like to ask Steve Bovee to come up and help us continue to share the memories of a life well lived.
Good morning. My name is Steve Bovee, and I serve as the Dean of the School of Business at Roberts Wesleyan College. But the title that is most meaningful to me today is Bill's Friend. It's been my privilege to share in Bill's journey for the past 13 years, since he joined the faculty at Roberts, following an already distinguished career as both a practitioner and educator. Bill's experience, entrepreneurial vision, and steady hand were essential to helping Roberts and me navigate a time of significant change. I often kidded Bill that no one was happier to welcome him to Roberts than me, since some of my challenges quickly became his. He would laugh and say, "You know, you didn't tell me the whole story when I was interviewing." He was right, of course, but Bill handled these and all challenges with a combination of wisdom, creativity, and grace that is rare. We worked closely together, reshaping faculty governance and academic structure, building new programs, tackling administrative challenges. Bill was a pioneer in the development and delivery of applied student-focused health administration programs, both at RIT and Roberts Wesleyan. He invested significantly in the development of these programs, as well as in his staff, and particularly his students. The Dr. William W. Wilentz Award for Outstanding Healthcare Organization Transformation was recently created in Bill's honor to recognize MHA students at Roberts who offer outstanding strategic solutions for their client organization. The initial award was presented to Bill, in my driveway in fact, in recognition of his significant contributions to the healthcare industry in this region and his influence in preparing current and future practitioners for transformative impact in their healthcare organizations. Bill's sense of humor, his faith, and his ability to bring out the best in others characterize his approach to both life and learning. He believes strongly that the way one leads is as important as what one knows or what one can do. Servant leadership permeated Bill's programs, his courses, and particularly his interactions with others. He understood that effective leadership derives from a deep love for those you lead and a willingness to serve them sacrificially. Recently, during one of my last visits with Bill at his home, he had just completed grading his last paper, walked down the stairs, sort of out of breath, as I came in the door. He was extremely proud to have done so, feeling strongly that this student deserved his best, even as his own strength was quickly fading. This is sacrificial service. When you live your life this way, you eternally impact others. In recent days, Bill's friends and colleagues described him as a mentor, a friend, a confidant, a leader, and an inspiration. They appreciated his kindness and caring, his forthrightness and dignity, his wisdom and vision, his support and guidance, his sense of humor, and his courage. Two notes Bill received capture the essence of why so many of us loved and appreciated Bill. The first, "You're a treasured colleague for both your professional contributions and for your spirit and character. Such a fine example of a good and faithful servant. It was always a privilege to work alongside you. I appreciate your insight and humor, and I hope you know what a difference you made in my life." Second, "Your accomplishments are to be celebrated. You are a great example of a servant leader and all-around great man. You've mattered greatly to me and countless others who you have influenced, coached, and encouraged with your generous time and wisdom." On a personal note, Bill was a trusted truth teller, my partner in battle, and my friend. We enjoyed daily banter about the craziness of both politics and academic administration. We shared the same birthday and celebrated together, usually over Chinese food. This past December, we celebrated our birthdays at his kitchen table, with balloons, laughter, and a few tears. We often lunched together, even after Bill returned RIT. I noticed over the years that we tended to talk less and less about work and more about life, family, and the Lord. Bill's time at Roberts, as was already noted, was as transformative for him as it was for his students. The reading from the 23rd Psalm talks about restoring our soul. I believe his time at Roberts was part of the restoration of Bill's soul. And for that, I'm proud. He appreciated the freedom at Roberts to integrate his Christian faith with his teaching and his relationships. I watched his faith and his relationship with the Lord deepen over time. I believe we both also learned to appreciate and enjoy God's blessings in our lives. When our conversation invariably shifted to family, Bill would come alive. He treasured his time with Barb and loved to share their latest adventure and their plans. He was incredibly proud of Natalie and Ben, always excited to share their latest accomplishments. I feel like I participated virtually in their lives. More recently, Patrick and Lauren entered the scene and became additional points of pride in our conversation. Bill lived his life fully and without regrets. He faced adversity with humor, faith, and determination. He harbored no bitterness, only gratefulness. During one of my last visits with Bill, I shared with him what I had heard so many others say, especially in recent months. We were all amazed by the character and the grace he showed through his long battle with cancer. I told him that increasingly, as I watched him in recent months, I saw Christ in him, and that if he never verbally witnessed to anyone about his faith, his life alone reflected Christ to others. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, this is kind of the conclusion to that section of Scripture. It says the following: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Bill, thank you for letting his light shine through you, for serving faithfully, excellently, and sacrificially, and for living a life that mattered.
Sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. But greater still, the calm assurance, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because Christ lives.
Please join with me in a time of prayer. O God, before whom generations rise and pass away, we praise you for all your beloved children who, having lived this life in faith, now live eternally with you. Especially we thank you for your son, Bill. We praise you for the gift of his life, for all in him that was good and kind and faithful, for the grace you gave him that kindled in him love for you and his family. Thank you for Bill's commitment to his family, the love he shared with his wife Barb. We give you thanks for the wisdom and love living on in their children, Natalie and Ben, and for their spouses, Patrick and Lauren. God, hold and sustain the Wallens family. And we thank you today that for Bill, pain has ended, and he now has entered into the joy you have prepared. May he at last know peace and healing. Redeem, O God, all the pain and make vivid all the good memories. Let them all be at peace in the power of your redeeming love. Lift heavy sorrow. Give all good hope in Jesus so that we may walk bravely our earthly way and look forward to glad reunion in the life to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now stand and sing together, this time from the Green Hymnal, number 2, Be Not Afraid. Standing, I'm going to give you a moment to find that purple hymnal again, because following the commendation and benediction, together as a congregation, we are going to sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, and the rest of the verses you all are going to continue to sing as the family walks out, and you'll be able to greet them on the patio. So we will sing all the verses of Amazing Grace. Friends, God has given us life, and through Christ we have been given new life. And we now commend William Wallace to God's merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns with God and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Alleluia. Amen.
Sweet the sound that sings. invitation to go to the altar.
To what?
It's an invitation to go to the altar.
Oh, okay.